Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Well, good morning. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. It is May 16th, 2017, and I have Janet Allison on the line. Janet, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning. So great to be here.
Yeah, and a marvelous spring day and all that. Well, Janet is an author and the founder of Boys Alive, Getting the Best Out of Them. I think that's the term.
And bring out their best.
Bring out their best. Well, you'll have a chance to talk about that later on. The topic is three tips to limit screen time. So obviously we're talking about the digital revolution, the smartphones, the tablets, the computers, and all of that. It's part of our culture, even the adults, but especially the kids, this screen time thing. So why do we need to limit? What's the problem?
Well, first of all, screens, our phones, let's just talk about that. They have been designed to be addicting, to keep us coming back, to, you know, keep scrolling through Facebook and scroll and scroll and scroll. They've used psychology. Google and Microsoft and all those Apple have designed the devices to be compelling and to have us coming back, because the more we come back, the more money they make. Mm-hmm. And so we have, you know, we're adults and we are not digital natives. We could consider ourselves, Lon, you and I, digital immigrants,
right,
because we didn't have this growing up. Mm-hmm. But now we've got these kids who are digital natives. How many times I've asked my kids, well, how do I do this setting or how do I do that? And they kind of just know, right? Or that two-year-old that already knows how to swipe a screen. They're digital natives. They're growing mm-hmm. up with this. But the difficulty is that their brains are still forming. And so we have to be the ones to put the brakes on for them, because too much screen time is addictive. And there's a lot of other things happening in the world that it's easy for them to ignore and avoid and, you know, instead pick up the phone. I mean, we do it as adults, right? So we mm-hmm. have to be that gatekeeper for our children.
So you're saying that the problem is that the kids, as their brains are forming, it is forming to look to the screen before they look at anyplace else, including reality, I presume.
Absolutely. And, you know, every time we pick up our phone and there's a message from a friend or we see something interesting, we get a shot of dopamine. We get that feel good. Oh, yeah, this is great. And that our brains don't know the difference. They want more. And mm-hmm. it's just like an addiction to gambling or an addiction to cocaine or alcohol, whatever it is. It's that same pathway. And so we have to be really aware of that. And if you have a history of addiction in your family and you've got a son that, you know, is loving his video games and doesn't want to stop, then you really need to be concerned, because that line of addiction does follow family lines and it can be even more severe in that family line.
Okay, or even in the kid themselves, I presume once they get addicted as a kid, they'll always have to deal with that temptation to live on the screen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, I interviewed not too long ago Dr. Victoria Dunkley, and she wrote a book called Reset Your Child's Brain, a 4-week plan to end meltdowns, raise grades, boost social skills by reversing the effects of electronic screen time. And she has diagnosed electronic screen syndrome, which looks a lot like ADHD, inattentiveness, meltdowns, mood swings. All of those things can be traced back to time spent on screens.
Okay, well, you made a good case for there's a problem. So how do you deal with this? Because I think everybody's had the meltdown when you tell somebody to stop the computer game.
Absolutely.
Or live your life. So what are the tips? You said three tips. So, okay.
Well, So one of the tips is getting clear on how much screen time is actually being consumed. And I offer a micro course about this. And in that course, I encourage the teen to monitor the parent's usage and the parent to monitor the teen's usage. Because what happens is we think, oh, I've only been on Facebook for 10 minutes. In reality, it's 45 minutes has gone by. So the first tip is the need to really get clear on how much time you're actually spending on screens. That's just the baseline and the place to go from. And also with that is, when are you on screens the most? Is it late at night, or for teens, you know, before they go to school in the morning? So when is that bulk of that time spent on screens? So tracking that, first of all, because you have to have some information to build upon.
That's a good first step. Now the question is, the question I have is that how do you self-monitor? Because that's real difficult to get into it. And what, the parents have to be watching the kids, or the kids self-report, or how do you do this?
Well, see, I'm saying that you have to monitor the other, because self-reporting doesn't work. We don't self-report accurately. So it's like, okay, you know, we're going to do this science experiment. Let's just get on board as a family, and here's a week-long chart, and let's track what we're doing. And to recognize that parents, too, have an addiction to screens and don't even think about picking up the phone to check their messages or send a text. And I think it's building that awareness for all of us. Mm-hmm. And then it's knowing how things are being used. Are they using Snapchat, Instagram? And, you know, this is a really tough one, and this would be a whole nother conversation, but when you hand a child a smartphone, you are handing them the world. And that means all the good and all the bad. And if you hand them a smartphone, you are also handing them the doorway to pornography. And so that's another place to really have some serious, honest conversations about what apps are on the phone, what they are looking at, and helping them navigate and negotiate that peer pressure around screens. So the inroad is, you got to have the conversations, and parents need to be aware of all the things that are out there. And I really encourage and implore parents to put monitoring software. And there are also to see where the kids have visited, what websites. And also there are apps that limit the time that you can spend, like on Facebook. You can set it for 10 minutes and then it turns off.
Okay, let's get into that issue a little bit, because the monitoring, some parents think, oh, that's an invasion of privacy, and they argue against that, or they're very dubious of it. And I think there's a lot of parents that feel that way, like it's going into a child's room and reading their diary. And that's controversial. So talk a little bit more about that. Are you really invading their privacy?
I believe you are keeping them safe. Mm-hmm. As long as they are in your house, under your roof, your primary task as a parent is to keep them safe. And you are the gateway between them and the world. Predators, pornography, whatever it might be, you have to keep them safe. And so you have the conversation and you're open about it. You know what? We're going to be checking in. And the thing is, kids are really good at hiding things too. So there's apps can be hidden, and yet again, it's just having that open and honest conversation. But I believe that parents' job is to keep them safe and to be honest. You know, we are going to be looking. We will take your phone and we will look at it. And so it's not sneaky. It's right up front, and you're doing it to keep them safe.
Okay. Okay, well, the first thing is to get established, have the conversation. What's the next step?
Well, again, knowing these steps all kind of run together, but doing the research, getting the data, and then talking about the screens are being used. And there's so much like around video games, you know, boys really love the challenges. And having, being curious, I think, as the parent, well, what do you love about that video game? And, oh, you like the challenge. You like, you know, make getting to the next level. Where else in your life can we get you some challenges? So the next step is translating what they love about screens. Maybe it's just connecting with their friends, the social aspect. Okay, well, can we have, you know, Friday afternoons, everybody comes over and we make pizza, or somehow bring it, draw it back from the compelling screens into, okay, that's what you're passionate about. All right, let's do something in real life that can amplify that or mirror what your interests are.
So you deflect, in a sense it's sort of deflecting, they have this urge, but taking a hike, you know, doing something something physically challenging, things like that. Get them directed on something else that, rather than screen time, that has an interest and that meets the same needs. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, yeah. And part of that too, Lon, this is so interesting because parents feel like they're going to get so much pushback from their kids if they limit screen time. But in conversations that I've had with teens, they actually say it is a relief to have like to have a phone-free weekend. It is a relief for them not to have to be tied to their Instagram or their social, whatever their social media is. They actually need us to say, yep, you're having a break. No screens this weekend.
Well, that's a tried and true thing that people have done. I know many times, like I raised three daughters, and if a guy was going to ask them out and wanted to, and they didn't want to go, they used me. I could say no. And various ways of things, using and relying upon the parents to do the right thing. That's exactly what you're talking about. It's the same thing, the time-honored custom.
Absolutely. Blame the parents, right? My mom won't let me.
Yeah, or don't try to text me this weekend. I'm going dark.
Right. And the sense of relief that they feel. And there are now even rehab places for kids who have chronic screen addiction. And a movie, Screenagers, has been making its way around, which is very profound on this topic. And one of the kids on there, I just was so touched because they were addicted to screen time, video games, social media. And he, as a teenager, finally was just realizing that he has an inner voice that he could listen to, that he could hear. Mm-hmm. And talk and have that inner life, because that's the other thing that screens do, is they pull us out of that contemplative place or that downtime where we can be creative and think of new ideas, because we're constantly engaged on that surface level.
Well, unfortunately, time has flipped by and we've used up our time, but I think it's been, you've hit a lot of the high points. Could you tell me a little bit about your what you do, and then contact information, but you know, Boys Alive, and your book and your business. Good. So we explain that a little bit, along winding up with how people can get a hold of you if they wanted to talk or find out more.
Great. I am the founder of Boys Alive, and I'm an author, an educator, and a family coach. And I've recently released some micro courses, one of them being Help My Son Hates Limits on Screen Time. So you can find that at boysalive.com/micro-courses. And my website is boysalive.com. You can connect with me there. My email is janet@boysalive.com. So lots of support. You know, raising boys can be challenging and puzzling and fun and exhausting. And I am here to be your support and your advocate so that we can raise great men.
Well, fantastic. And I think we need more of you around that, because the boys, according to all the studies, boys are having problems.
Yes.
With discipline, with getting kicked out of school, any number of things. So they need all the help they can get. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Janet Allison. And the topic has been 3 tips to limit screen time. And thank you very much. It's been enlightening, Janet, and I wish we had more time, but maybe we're going to have to come back and do it again and continue.
My pleasure, Lon. Thanks for having me.